First Thessalonians chapter 3. Oh. First Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourself know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by any means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Let's go to the Lord. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we do thank you for this precious day that we have, that, Lord, we've appointed to come here. And Lord, I believe by divine appointment to hear your word, Lord, and just ask that you would open our hearts and minds to it. Ask, Lord, that you would help us to take it, be doers, not just hearers only, but to be doers of your word. Ask you to hide me behind that cross. It's nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And in his name I pray, amen. Now, I want to focus basically on one verse. It kind of includes two more, but we'll get to that. But mainly I want to focus on verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. Paul, he sent Timothy, to know to know what was going on in Thessalonica. He was in Athens. He sent Timothy to want to find out how Thessalonica were doing. Remember, they had only been saved 2, 3, 4 months, maybe. And he wanted to know how they were doing, how their faith was holding up. And for a really good reason. Look at the rest of verse 5. Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you. Who's the tempter? Satan. He's the one that tempts you. Now, we don't have to sin. Brother Larry brought that out in the class, and if you missed the 5 o'clock class, shame on you. But nonetheless, really, honestly, we are freed from sins, and we do not have to fall into his temptation. Amen. Now, I told you one time, the way Satan tempts us, he's not going to tempt you with something that doesn't affect you. He's going to tempt you with something that'll get you. It's kind of like when I bass fish. I let the pond's nice, and I throw my lure out there, and I let it hit, and I just let it sit there. And the ripples all go out across the pond. And I don't budge it until it's back calm again. And then I start kind of popping it, and I reel it. Now, it's up to that bass whether he goes for it or not. I've had some swim by. I like them that come zooming across there, bam, and they get it, and it's like, yeah, because then it's the fight zone. But that's what Satan does to us. He lays it out there for us, and it's up to us whether we fall for it or not. We don't have to, but anyway, I got to get going. So Paul was concerned with him, and he said, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. In other words, there was a church that started there, and Satan would like nothing more to do than destroy the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that one had just started. So as far as he's concerned, you know what? We can get in here and stop this. Paul knew that. So Paul says, he sent Timotheus back. Now, Satan attacks different things. We're going to go into a study on this for probably 5, 6, 7 different sessions. But Satan attacks our faith. And if he can get you to doubt God, then honestly, he can ruin your life. If he can convince you to doubt God, he can ruin your life. And he attacks our faith. You see, if Satan can ruin your faith, it'll ruin your hope, your love. You see, faith, hope, and love all go together. You can't separate those. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I think it's verse 13. Yeah. It says, faith, hope, and love, love's the most important. But if you see, they all three go together. Faith, hope, and love. Now, when you love someone, you trust them. And when you trust them, you got a lot of hope in that person. And we should love the Lord Jesus. And when we love him, we won't have when we love him, we won't have any problem trusting him and having a confident hope in him. So I really have no problem trusting someone that I love, because I know if that person loves me, they're not out to harm me. That's really not what their intentions are. This is why Satan attacks our faith, so that we will not trust the Lord. If he can get to your faith in God, if he can get you to lose your faith, to doubt your faith, then honestly, he can ruin your life. You see, he wants to undermine God's word and ruin everything for you. You ever said this? Have you ever said, you know what, my life's terrible? It's falling apart. Everything's just piling up in a heap. It's horrible. I got this going on. I got these problems. I got wife problems. I got husband problems. I got kid problems. I got financial problems. You ever just thought, man, my whole life is just... It's all in a heap. And you think, oh, my life is terrible. How do you know that your life is not going the right way? That may be the way God planned it for you right now. Think about that. You see, our Father in heaven plans our life. There was times in my life that my kids thought, Dad has finally lost it. He has gone crazy. They didn't get why things were the way they were. But I told them, I said, listen, I'm not crazy. I said, you just trust me. And then later they could look back and they're like, oh, now I know why Dad did that. He wasn't crazy after all. You see, let me read verse 3 again. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that ye are appointed thereunto. Listen, I don't care whether you like it or not. This ain't your health, wealth, gospel. There's these preachers out there that preach, well, now if you'll read the Bible and if you'll go to church and be sure to give me money, everything's going to be smooth as a bed of roses. There's only one problem. All of the rose bushes I've ever dealt with got thorns. They don't tell you, listen, Jesus never said in the Word of God that you're going to just have everything smooth. There's going to be afflictions. Matter of fact, he said, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. If you decide to stand for God, you're going to suffer some persecution. That's the truth. You ever had persecution? Of any kind? Somebody laugh at you because you're a Christian? Yeah,
I have. I've had people, you're a what? A preacher.
You know, because they knew me years ago. and they like, yeah, he'll quit that in a few months. Really? No, God about killed me the first time. I ain't. So what? Now look what he says in verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should, not might, but that we should suffer tribulation. We're going to have some problems. We've had some problems in our lives. Anybody that says they're a child of God that says, well, it's always been smooth. I've never had a problem once. They lying. They ought to repent because they're lying. It ain't always been smooth. There's been some times that I'm like, cool, man, this is good. But then there's been some other times that it ain't been so good. And I even asked myself, what am I doing? But we got to trust our Father. Right now, seriously, there may be somebody in here going through some problems with spouse, going through some money problems, going through kid problems. It's hard to say what all could be taking place. And you're wondering, what should I do? What am I supposed to do? I got all this piling up in a heap. All these tribulations, all these sufferings are on me. What should I do? Well, I'm going to tell you what to do. I wrote it down right here in my notes. Obey the word of God, trust the promises of God, and let God do the rest. I can't give you a perfect solution. The only real solution that I would consider perfect is obey the word of God, obey the promises, read the promises of God, trust in those promises, and let God do the rest. See, living by faith means, honestly, living by faith means obeying God's commandments. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about what he tells us in here. Romans 6. He said, neither yield your instruments, your members, your body, instruments of sin. I ain't got to sit here and tell you what sin is. You know what sin is. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about commandments. And trusting, living by faith means obeying God's commandments, trusting God's promises. Now here's the kicker. In spite of circumstance. In spite of circumstance, in spite of your feelings, we got to obey God and trust His promises. You see, the circumstance around us can be pretty rotten, but we got to trust God. Our feelings can be played with. So I just asked somebody here a few minutes ago on the phone, texting. I said, how you know you're going to heaven? Well, they give me some, well, because I've been going to church all my life. Well, I said, okay. Well, I've done all these good works. Okay, that was the next. They keep typing this. Well, because I feel it. I'm going to tell you something. Going to heaven ain't a feeling. I'm going to heaven because of a fact. Because there's days I wake up and I don't feel like I'm saved. And sometimes, according to my wife, I don't act like I'm saved. And I don't have the look of a saved person because I come down the hall and she's like, ooh, he don't feel good. So you can't go on feelings. And like I said, Satan will play with those feelings. He does. He plays with us. You see, people who live by their feelings and circumstances, they look for shortcuts. There's a problem with shortcuts. There aren't any. Not in the Christian life. There are no shortcuts. And if you do a shortcut, you decide to take a shortcut in the Christian life, it's going to cost you. You're going to miss out on something. When I was training horses,
There was hours and hours and hours, day in, day out, that I'd ride circles to the left, and I'd ride circles to the right. And I'd squeeze with my right leg when I'm going around in circles, and I'd pick up with the right rein, and I'd go this way and do the same thing to the left. I was teaching that horse by that touch of my leg or the lifting of that rein to go into the right leg, or by that little squeeze in my left leg to pick up the left leg. And I was teaching him all these things, and when I would be going around in a, I'd get my circles and I'd start out in a wide circle, just walk. And I'd go little, all the way to the point where he was turning like this. And then I would set him up, pull him back, which he knew that meant to stop. And then I would pick him up again, which meant what he would do is he'd spin around. And the idea was him spinning around on his back feet and get to where they paddle. So they'll go round and round. You ever see these horses on TV? They call them reining horses. And the guy will slide and they'll stop. And then all of a sudden the horse goes really fast. That's what I was training them. They call them reining horses. And they spin and they do it on their back legs. But when they're spinning, instead of doing this, I'm picking him up with the reins to get him to reach and over. Because if I do this hard enough, I'm going to cause myself a problem. They'll get what they call navicular disease. They'll get bone spurs. And we'd get bone spurs. I got a finger in the mornings. I bend it. It goes click. It's got a spur in it. So I was working on teaching him to do that. By me taking the time to teach him to do that, that saved him a lot of grief in years later and me buying another horse. There is no shortcuts to serving God. When we take a shortcut to serving God, we're going to miss out on something that's valuable. We have to follow the plan. Here's the plan right here. It's laid out pretty easy. It's and honestly, I'm going to be honest with you, it's not that hard. There's no shortcut. So faith is living without scheming. When the Word of God tells us to do something, we all just do it. You know, now, let me throw you out a scenario. If you're laying in bed one night, the Lord speaks to you and says, now you need to go rob a bank because you're short on money. That ain't God talking to you. You probably ought not. But if the Lord's laying, if you're laying there in bed and the Lord says, you know, read a passage of Scripture. Read that passage. When I'm in bed at night, sometimes I get this prompting of the Holy Spirit within me to go pray for somebody. I'm in the middle of the night, got up and thought, now why am I praying for so-and-so? I don't know anything going on in their life. Do you know a few days later they'd let me know that something was happening? See, the Lord knows these things. So, when the Lord tells us to do something, do it. It's no ifs, ands, buts about it. We ought to do it. 1 Chronicles 28 and 10. Well, let's go there. Hang on to Thessalonians. 1 Chronicles, way over in the back, or at least write it down anyway so you can look at it later. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 10. David gives counsel really to Israel, and he's also given counsel to Solomon. He said, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. David wanted to build the house of God, but God said, no, because you're a bloody man. You got blood on your hands. You're not going to kill him. I mean, you're not going to build it. He killed a lot of people. That wasn't the main reason. The main reason, because he killed someone. We won't get into that. But he said, Solomon's going to build the house. So David gives his son, he said, take heed. For the Lord hath chosen thee to build the build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and, what's it say? Do it.
You see, that's really what we need to do. When the Lord tells us, when the Lord leads us, when we read it in the Bible, because by the way, this is how God talks to us. We talk to Him in prayer and He talks to us through His Word. If we'll read it, we'll know what He's telling us. And then we're to do it. Oh, I got to get after it. What time is it? Oh, we're doing good. Don't second guess God, by the way. Just do it. That's what we need to do. You might want to study this at some point. But believe it or not, in the Old Testament, now hear me out before you get to thinking I've lost my mind. In the Old Testament, believe this or not, you ever remember that show, Believe It or Not? That was cool. Believe it or not, this is one of them. In the Old Testament, you'll only find Satan working personally four times. That's it. In the Old Testament, you'll only find where Satan personally worked four times. Now, he works all through the Bible. We see that. He's got his little minions running around doing lots of things. But in the Old Testament, you're only going to find four instances where it was him that got involved. I'm going to give them to you. Genesis chapter 3, he tempted Eve. It plainly states, Satan tempted Eve. Job. Oh, all of us read Job. He got a hold of Job. He attacked him. And it plainly states it was him. 1 Chronicles 21. He tempted David. And Zechariah chapter 3, he attacked Joshua, the high priest. It was a vision in heaven, but nonetheless, he personally attacked Joshua. Each time, though, that he attacked, he used different parts. He didn't always attack the same way. He didn't attack David the same way he attacked Joshua. He didn't attack David the same way he attacked Eve. Each time there was something different. This will help us really to understand how he works. And we need to know how he works. Because if we know how he works, it helps us fight against him. Number one. He attacks the mind. That was Eve. When he attacked Job, he attacked what? His body. When he attacked David, he attacked David's will. When he attacked Joshua, he went for the heart. You see, that each time there was a different deal. Go to Genesis chapter 3. All right, Genesis 3. We all know the story, but we'll go there anyway. Verses 1 through 6. Oh, by the way, Genesis is the first book in the Bible. Easy to find. Page 8. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. Now, I don't know if God ever told them not to touch it. From what I read, he didn't say that. He just said they ain't supposed to eat it. All right, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, you see, Satan attacked her mind. He confused her so that she doubted God's word. He's attacking the mind. He's attacking her faith. He wanted her to be confused of what God said. And I'm going to just go out on a limb here, gemology, that when she said, matter of fact, we ain't even supposed to touch it, I'm going to say she made that up because she was confused. Now, I don't know that. That's just a thought. You see, Satan's still doing this today. The way you think is the way you live. It honestly is. The way you think is the way you live. See, Satan wanted to make Eve ignorant of God's word, of God's will, by questioning and turning away from God's word. That's his goal. The way you discover God's will for your life is what? By reading God's word. God don't come in the bedroom at night and say, Jose, I want you. He don't do that. If he does, let me smoke what you're smoking, because I could relax good with that stuff. Listen, if he shows up in your bedroom, you better get out of the bedroom, because that ain't God. you got a problem. Now, sometimes it's so audible to me, I kind of look like, is he here? And I know that's happened to some of you before. Kevin tells a story about that, and it's like, I believe that the Lord speaks to us, but it's inner. It's not audible like we're talking. But anyway, could he do that? If he wants to. you see, that's by obeying God's word and doing what God tells me to do, as I don't do what God tells me not to do, God, through the Holy Ghost, guides my life. In other words, when I do what God says do, and when I don't do what God says don't do, I'm obeying him. And the Holy Spirit is working in my life and guides me, gives me that guidance I need to know what to do. And I need to know where to go. He gives me that guidance. And listen, we all need that guidance in your life. We really do. You see, Satan wants us to be ignorant of God's word because he knows that. He ain't stupid. Satan Satan won't come to you in his true nature. He didn't show up to Eve. You know, most of us in here probably grew up watching my favorite, Bugs Bunny Hour. Man, I like Yosemite Sam. He's cool. But you ever see the little devil on there? Got the little horns. Got his pitchfork. He don't look that way. I'm going to be honest with you. If we really saw Lucifer, I'm not sure we could handle it. But I think he was beautiful because God made him. And I believe he was beautiful. There's no doubt to that. But it would shock us. He's not going to come to us. I know you do. You drive down the highway and you see black velvet sign, this gorgeous lady laying there, and it's advertising their black velvet alcohol. Or this bud's for you. But they don't show you what it looks like splattered all up and down the highway with your brains. Or it don't show you a picture of my great aunt who drowned in her own vomit because she couldn't roll over. She was too drunk. See, Satan don't approach us with the truth. Satan approaches us with, he comes in different forms. He came to Eve in the form of a serpent. Did he not? That's what it said. You see, he don't come. But he also might come someone else. He used Peter one time. Over at Matthew chapter 16, 21 through 23, we won't go read it, but he used Peter. He came before Jesus and tempted Jesus by using Peter to do so. He used Ananias and Sapphira to tempt the church. That's exactly what he did. Satan can use anyone, by the way. And his purpose is to turn us really from the Word of God. Then you won't know the will of God. All right, we're almost done. Don't panic. He had Eve question God's Word. Then he put his Word in its place. What did he say? Oh, ye shall not surely die. God said, don't eat of the tree, or you're going to die. And Satan said, oh, you ain't going to die. Matter of fact, Eve, you're not going to die. And as a matter of fact, you're going to be as a God is. You're going to be like him. Who is it that teaches that? They ride around I call them assault vehicles, 10 speeds. Listen, they're good kids. They are. I'm nice to them. They're sweet. They're very polite. I've only run across one since I've lived in Nevada that was a jerk, and I let him know he was. Tell me he was an elder. I said, how long have you been out of diapers? I said, a few years. I said, don't stand here and tell me you're an elder. I said, you still wet behind the ears, boy. You know, he made me angry. But they're nice people. They're kids. But they peddle poison. That's what you're doing. And I'm going to be honest with you. They don't know no better. They were raised that way. Most of them were in the womb in the church. And they're pushing that mess. Don't be mad at them. Pray for them. Don't bid them Godspeed. Lord said that's wrong. He said, see you later. And pray for him. But you see, he gets you to question. He got Eve to question God's word. But then he put his own word in place of it. You ain't going to die, Eve. If you eat of this stuff, Eve, you're going to be like God. Well, hey, you ever thought about what it would be like to be God? I have. Trust me, most everybody I've met, I've done zap by now. That's why I ain't God. No, honestly, we can't. We're never going to be a God. Come on. But yet they fool people with that mess. But that's what he told her. Don't forget he wants to be like God. Satan does. That's why I use that with her. He wants to be like God. He already said so. He said, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to rise above the most high. He questions the Bible. He denies the word. And he substitutes the word with his words. You see, now, I'm going to tell you something. Be careful with, and we're about to close. Man, we're doing good. Be careful with anyone who questions the Word of God. Amen. They question the Word of God, back away. They got problems. Seriously. Any book that says really what God meant, You might oughta put it down. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not really what God meant. I've been reading some commentaries before, and I won't say who they were by. And of course, you probably wouldn't know them anyway. But I've been reading some of them, and I'm like, what? And I backed up, and it pretty much insinuated, well, God really didn't mean this. This is what he meant. Well, who in the world died and left him in charge? The Bible is no private interpretation. It was written by the Holy Spirit. And it means today what it meant 50 years ago what it meant 500 years ago. It still means the same. I'm gonna tell you, the best way to do it is stick to what the Word says. I had a guy tell me one time, Hebrews 10:25, you know that's one of my favorites. But I told him that one time, said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, the manner some does, blah, 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 blah. He said, well, that's not really what it meant. I ain't a rocket scientist, but I can figure out that he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That means if you can, you need to be in church. But, you know, he told me, he said, well, brother, that ain't what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about church. That's really not what he meant. I'm like, whatever. Be careful. Stick to what the Bible tells us. And if you miss, if you're not quite understanding it, pray. Listen, that's what the Holy Spirit's for, is to guide us into all truth. That's a fact. Any book that you have checked, any book that you have, I'm supposed to have a comma there, and I'd know that. Any book that you have, gotta check it by the Word of God. Don't check the Word of God by the book. Go with what the book says, the Word of God, not the book that you buy. You ever heard of Max Lucado? Yeah, I like some of his writings. He's made me mad now because he's bowed down to BLM. Good grief. But listen, it don't matter what he says. I'm going to go with what the Word of God says. Always check anything you're reading that's supposedly biblical, check it by the Bible. And I'll go ahead and tell you, throw it in the trash if it don't follow the Word of God. If it tells you any different, throw it in the trash. No, I won't say it. Follow the Bible. Be careful. I'll say this. Be careful with these new versions they've got out there. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I've got an NIV at the house. I've got an NASB at the house. I've got a Latin Vulgate. But I don't read them. I use them for study. I'm going to read you one verse, and we're going to close. Go over here to the book of Colossians if you want, or you can just write it down, whatever you'd like to do. I'm going to read this verse to you, and this is what I'm going to tell you. Because I've had people tell me, well, I can understand the way they worded it. Okay, I get that. There's a lot of people don't know what Southern... sometimes I need an interpreter. The further east you get, they don't understand Southern lingo. You know, we fix it. We don't fix it, we fix it. We gobble a lot of words. So sometimes you got to have an interpreter for certain things. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Everybody there? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I'm gonna step out on a limb here and tell you, if your Bible doesn't say through his blood, well, you decide what to do with it. You can read whatever Bible you want to, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you, lay the King James out with it and compare each of the verses. And if they're leaving stuff out that ain't in here, I'm going to trust what's been around 400 and some odd years quicker than I'm going to trust what's been around the last 100 years. Okay? That's honest. Because you got to be careful with Satan. Satan plays games. He attacks your mind. He gets you to question your faith, which in turn gets you to doubt God. And if we're doubting God, we got problems. And it'll ruin our life. All right, I'm going to hush. Next week, well, Lord willing, maybe even Wednesday, we're going to look at another place where Satan attacks. So tonight, basically, we saw that he attacks the mind.